The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. It's David and Isaac. This is Hoop Ball Grizz. We are here post-game, post-series with the Denver Nuggets. And somehow, the Memphis Grizzlies win both games in this series. I didn't see it coming. This game tonight was a lot more stressful than Monday night. I actually was not in the post game presser, so I'm going to let Isaac tell us how that post game presser went after tonight's win.
Yeah, I was actually only in on Taylor Jenkins. They were, you know, how they got a delay in between each person that speaks, so I only got to see Jenkins. But he just kind of talked about the execution that they had after getting down, getting a 20-point lead, and losing that lead, how they continued to fight, and that he was proud of the effort that they put in. But I mean, this is super impressive. I mean, for a team that most prognosticators, especially people outside of Memphis, would have said coming into the season that Denver is ahead of you, and to be able to knock them off two times in a row back to back, man, I'm with you. I didn't see it coming. I thought for sure Denver would come out with a better effort tonight, and they did. Grizzlies came out with a lot of energy early, got up 20, and you just knew Denver was going to battle back, and he did, and felt like they kind of had the momentum. But I mean, the Grizzlies just continued to battle. It felt like at the end of that third quarter that Denver had all the momentum, and then Jared hits that big long three, and I think that kind of opened things up, and the Grizzlies really played well in the fourth quarter and were able to close this thing out, man. But super, super impressive, man, to go 2-0 against this Denver Nuggets team. And I talked about this last time we talked. I mean, they do play the Nuggets four times, but to have this 2-0 lead, I mean, eight games into the season, I think that's huge, because I think the Nuggets are a team that we can look up at the end of the season, and Grizzlies are kind of in that mix when you look at that 4, 5, 6, 7, kind of in that range where you're jockeying for playoff seed. Denver could be a team that you're right there with, and you already have two wins over them, eight games of the season. I mean, that's really big.
Yeah, holding that tiebreaker, you know, and that's obviously they still have to win one more to have the advantage.
But it's big, but, though, to have those already in your pocket.
You're in a good spot. You're better now. Like, even you split this series, that's not terrible, right? 1-1 against the Nuggets is not bad. But, you know, 2-0 early on, just a great spot to be in. The Grizzlies are 5-3. They improved to 5-3 after this win. And if the Mavericks lose, they're in first in the division.
Yeah, the Mavericks up 107-105, 10.9 seconds left. I don't see whose ball it is. It is rebound. Looks like it's the Mavericks ball. So it looks like the Mavericks might be on the way to winning that one. So they'll still be tied atop the Southwest Division. They both be 5-3 if the Mavericks do pull it out. But, I'm just proud of this team. And, man, to the Jaren Jackson Jr. haters, I know I wasn't on the last podcast. I heard David went in on the Jaren Jackson Jr. haters. How you feeling tonight, man? I mean, that's the Jaren Jackson Jr. that I expect to see, and that's why he got paid. I mean, we've seen this guy do tremendous things in the past. He's been injured. He has been out a lot, but this is what he's capable of. And I'm so happy for him because, again, man, it's just been so negative from the fan base around him and his struggles. And I'm just happy to see it break out because he was wearing on him, man. You could see it on his face when he fouls and makes these bad plays, missed shots. You could tell it was really bothering him. And I think it was really in his head. And I think maybe this gets some momentum going forward and maybe he continues to play well, because I think he needed a game like this. And I'm really, really glad to see it, because they don't win this game without the big plays that he made down the stretch tonight.
And to me, some of the biggest plays that he made were not even the shots, man. His rebounding, whenever they were playing him at the five, and like,
I mean, going up against, like, Jokic, I mean, best in the league, man.
He was really the only person on the floor that could rebound. There were a couple lineups they were running there where it was, I know Jaren, Bane, Tyus. I don't remember the full lineup. I'm sorry, I was chasing my toddler around a little bit. Her, like, wife is working late tonight, so
it might be Kyle. I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about, but it might, like, be Kyle.
It probably was Kyle, but, like, Jaren had to be the rebounder, and Kyle can do, you know, Kyle is more than capable, but there were a couple defensive rebounds there to end the Nuggets possessions where Jaren had to go and get them. There was one in particular where he went over the top, Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter Jr., yeah.
And grabbed it. And that's the kind of stuff that we were not seeing early on. I had somebody ask me the other day, do you think Jaren can become a dog? And my answer to that question is, I don't care. I don't. Jaren doesn't have to be a dog to be successful. You know, he ate 22 and 8 tonight. The 8 rebounds, they were all defensive rebounds from him. 3 block shots. Just a great game. Jaren doesn't have to be a dog. There's other guys on this team that are dogs. You don't need every guy on your squad to be a dog. So if Jaren never turns into a dog, I don't give a flip, man. It makes zero difference to me whether he does or doesn't. I think that he can be successful without having that type of mentality. And that's not to say, like, it drives me crazy when we have these conversations, because there's a lot of assumption in there, right? Like, you don't know how competitive a guy is. Some guys, you can see the fire on the floor.
Yeah,
and you can show it differently coming out. And some guys, like, I remember growing up playing with this kid, like, he was not emotional. Like, this dude was stone faced, but there was not a player on the team that wanted to win more than him. And I think that is kind of where we are with Jaren Jackson. And maybe, you know, we know that Ja wants to win, and we know that, you know, he's vocal about it. He's a guy that shows, you know, there's no doubt that Ja Morant wants to win, and he's going to do whatever it takes in order for that to happen. But I there's nothing that Jaren has done that makes me think that he's not a guy that wants to win. He wants to win, and he's going to make plays that lead to winning. You know, he was the only starter that was a negative for the plus minus. Again, plus minus is like, if you're making an argument, it's good to have it. If you're using it again, yeah, it's not really a telling stat. You know, it's not. He, in that third quarter when he was playing the five and he made that three at the end, like, the stuff that he done, the Grizzlies do not get the win. And you said that the Grizzlies don't get the win if he doesn't make those plays. I want to bounce back to Monday's game, though. We were talking about this a little bit before we went on. I was at that game, and the overall officiating of that game was awful. It was so terrible. We were looking at the free throw counts. The Nuggets shot 15 and the Grizzlies shot 7. There were and that's total the entire game. That wasn't one player, like the teams in total. It was 15 and 7. So 22 free throws total. But the Grizzlies were getting no calls in that game. Just none. And I think you see guys like Harden and Trey having a hard time getting fouls called right now, because like, they're the big ones, right? They're the guys in the spotlight. But there were multiple times where I saw guys that should have had fouls called and it wasn't. So it feels like there's some areas where they're kind of just keeping the whistle in their pocket. And then other areas, like the double technical foul on Desmond Bane and Bones Highland, man, that's the softest double technical I've ever seen in my life. Did you see that play Monday night where they called that double tackle on them?
Yeah, man. My thing with officiate is just consistency. If be the same way all the time. You have certain games where they don't call anything, even within games. You have periods where they're calling everything. The next quarter, they might not call anything. They let them play. Just be consistent. I think that's the biggest issue I have with officiate across not just NBA and all sports. I think that's kind of what you see in professional sports. Just there's no consistency in the way that they make calls. And there needs to be some uniformity in that. And from game to game, you just see a difference. I mean, there's no way, man. You Grizzlies 5-7, 7 free throw attempts, 15, and especially as physical as that game was, because it was pretty physical. Both of these games were. And to only have that amount of free throws, not a whole lot of them shot tonight either in this game. So, I mean, I just want them to call it the same way every night, and that's just not what you get. But I do remember that double technical from Monday night, and that was weak, especially compared, like you said, the way that they weren't calling anything. It was just kind of weird to see them call a double technical there. It was extremely questionable at that point.
Yeah, and I think the conversation between Jamichael Green and Bane is really what triggered it, right? That's when they went back to the video, because, you know, Bane, I'm not even – he pushed Bones Highland, and push is probably given a little bit too much credit. Like, he extended his arm. They called the offensive foul. Bane had the ball in his hand. Bone tried to smack it out. Bane kind of spun it away from him and then pushed his arm out. barely even moved Hyland. It moved him, but it barely moved him. And then Jermichael kind of bumped up against Bane, you know, like taking care of the rookie. Like, that's not how we're going to do it. And I'm like, okay, that's basketball, right? Like,
yeah,
that's just part of the freaking game. And they blow the whistle and they go over. And I'm like, what are they freaking watching, man? Are they really going to call a technical on this? And they come out and they call a double technical. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, bro.
And speaking of Bones Island, man, he's a player, man. We both liked him and talked about him a lot in the pre-draft process, man. I wish he was a guy the Grizzlies could have drafted, man, because I think it's just something about it. He just kind of has that it factor, and I think he's going to be a big-time player. Nuggets already, I know, in their locker room, they love him. Mike Malone said that he's a big part of what they're going to do this year, and they already love him, man. I think he's just going to get better and better. Just a ball of energy, can really shoot and knock down shots, and we kind of saw that tonight, man. He's a handful, man. He's hard to guard. And that's the thing about this entire Nuggets team. I tweeted this throughout the game. They're so hard to defend because they set great screens and they just never stop moving. They're like relentless with the movement. And we saw tonight, man, former Memphis Tiger, Will Barton go off tonight. And he's very kind of Ja Morant-esque in the way that he gets skinny and can make these weird layups. He's behind the back, reverse layups. He's just so hard to defend when he's aggressive like that. I mean, we saw a game last year, I think in Denver, where he kind of really went off against the Grizzlies. Man, when he gets hot, man, it's hard to stop him. Man, he had a big game tonight. I was like, man, you're supposed to be with us, man. You're for a former Memphis Tiger, but he had a big time game tonight, man. They really couldn't get a control of him, especially in the first three quarters.
CGK,
yeah, man.
Yeah, he played well tonight, man. He finished the game. He had 26 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds. Just impacted. There were times when, well, not there were times. Any time that Nikola Jokic was off the floor.
I mean, he just carried
this offense was struggling, and so yeah. Mike Malone made the adjustment, and he was leaving Barton out there with
Barton there with the bitch guys, yeah.
And Barton was just cooking, man. It looked good, you know. And I think you and I discussed him as somebody that we would have liked to have seen the Grizzlies after for
100%.
Playing
just a bucket,
veteran,
man.
Yeah,
it's a bucket.
Yeah. So huge series for that. I'm still kind of in a little bit of shock that the Grizzlies managed to win both of these games. And I knew tonight would be a fight because you go into somewhere and you're playing back to back, and you lose game one in the manner that the Nuggets lost game one. I knew that they were going to come with fight tonight, and they did. Nikola Jokic, massive, you know, like, did he triple-double? He did not. 34, 11, and 5. Just, he done everything that he could do. But here's the deal with this team, man. You're missing Jamal Murray. Michael Porter Jr. is not playing the way that he should.
Oh, if people talk about Jared all. And he got paid more than Jared did, and he's struggling as well. So I don't know if Nugget fans are jumping on him the same way as some Grizzlies fans are jumping on Jared, but he's struggling as well. So I mean, it's not like this is something that you don't see with other guys. I mean, he has not been good this year, and I don't know if it's the back thing creeping up. I was kind of talking about somebody about this the other day, Monday. It just looks like he doesn't look like the same guy. Some of the stuff that you saw him do last year, he just doesn't seem to be moving as well and doing some of those things. And it could be the back injury creeping back up. I mean, there was one point where people didn't even know whether he was going to be able to play or not. And had a big time year last year, and he's got his extension. But I mean, so far he's really struggled.
Over the second half of last year, Michael Porter Jr. was hovering around 50% from the 3-point line, and he's not even close right now, man. He didn't make a single three tonight in this game. And, you know, he's 6-for-12 from the field, but he was 0-for-3 from three. And that's just, it's not like him. Like he's a high efficiency scorer.
And they need him to be that right now, especially with Murray out. They need that from him.
He's not taking less shots. Like he put up 12 shots tonight. And last year he was averaging 13 shots a game. He's one shot under that, but we're talking a 20% drop in his field goal. He shot for the year last year. He was 45% from three on over 6 attempts a game. He's shooting 23% from three right now. So like, this is not the norm. This is not like he's going to figure this out. And, you know, that's going to make a difference for this team. But is that, do you think that the reason he's struggling so much is because he's seeing better defenders right now? Do you think that has anything to do with it?
Man, I think that could be part of it. Again, man, I just think, to me, he just doesn't seem to be moving the same way. Like, I think it might be injury related. Maybe he's not getting the same looks. I mean, he was playing well. I was going to say without Jamal Murray, but he was playing well at the end of the season after Murray went down. So
yeah,
I don't know, man. He's just, again, like you said, I mean, he's putting up shots. He's not like he's not taking shots or getting volume like he did in the past. He's just not knocking them down. And again, without Jamal Murray, I mean, you have Jokic, Will Barton. He's a scorer, but as good as he is, he's still what you would consider to be a role player. He's not going to put up the numbers that he put up tonight every night. He's just not going to do that. And Michael Porter Jr., with the way he paid him, they're paying him as your number three guy outside of Murray and Jokic. And without Murray, they really need him to step up. And he's regressed from last year, and that's tough. The reason why I think this team is so good is because how good they are defensively. I mean, you saw Miami and what they come in here. I mean, I think very similar to what Miami does. They're the same kind of defensive team. I think they came into the night third in the NBA in defensive efficiency. I think that's kind of what's carrying them right now. But again, man, if he doesn't get back right while Murray's out, man, I think they're gonna struggle in some games, because I mean they need his scoring. And I think what he's doing right now, Will Barton was able to kind of bail them out tonight, and that's why the game was so close and Jokic went big. That's why he was in the game tonight. But they're gonna get into games where if he can't do any better than that, man, they're gonna really struggle to put enough points on the board to beat teams.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was Peter Brevin, but one of them talked about it. And the Nuggets have been under 100 points multiple times this season. And, you know, their defense is good, but, you know, they're better than this. They're better. And that's not like, I'm not saying that the Grizzlies shouldn't have beat this team. That's not what I'm implying. But the Nuggets are better than what they're playing right now, man.
But I mean, they just have a lot of solid players, like all the way into the bench. I mean, they're bringing out guys, veterans. Talk about Michael Green, Jeff Green, Monte Morris, P.J. Dozier. I mean, all these guys can really, really play. I mean, they don't really have any guys in their rotation where you say, well, this guy just can't play. I mean, they have a lot of depth. They have young veterans. They have MVP and Jokic. I mean, this team is extremely talented. That's even missing – we're not talking missing Jamal Murray. So, this team, I agree with you. They're better than they're playing right now. And that's not to take anything away from the Grizzlies, because it's tremendous that the Grizzlies beat this team two nights in a row. But this is a really good basketball team. And, again, this is impressive. That's why – we said at the top of the show that for the Grizzlies to get these two wins, man, I thought they would split. I just felt like after the way the Grizzlies kind of put it on them a little bit on Monday night, that they would come back more focused, and they did. But the Grizzlies were still able to come out with the win, man. I just think it's big, especially you're going and you got a tough game on Friday night against a Wizards team that's really playing well. They lost tonight, though. They did lose their first home game to Toronto, so they're going to be coming back on their home floor again, ready to play that on Friday night, so the Grizzlies have to be ready for that. But this Nuggets team is a really good basketball team. They're going to be in the mix. If you get Jamal Murray back later in the season, I think this team is going to be dangerous. And again, that's why it's so important that the Grizzlies were able to get these two wins.
Yep, I agree with you, man. We're going to show. We've been talking about the Nuggets quite a bit here. I want to shift to the Grizzlies. We got some good news today. Dylan Brooks was sent down to scrimmage with the Hustle.
Yeah, man.
Taylor Jenkins, you know, he didn't have any bad news. You know, he said he's progressing well. He's in a good spot. They're going to do another evaluation toward the end of the week and just go from there. He said, we're taking it day by day. And that's not to say that Dylan is day to day, but I don't think that he's far from returning. If he's going down there to scrimmage, then that means he's playing, you know, he's taking contact. He's doing all the things that he needs to be doing in order to come back. And, you know, the Grizzlies played well in these two games against the Nuggets, but their perimeter defense has been terrible to start the year. And you've got to think that their best point of attack defender is going to make a difference with that, you know. And that's, you know, De'Anthony Melton, great defender. But as far as point of attack, he's not as good as Dylan. He, you know, like overall, I think you can have the conversation that those guys are probably fairly close. I give the edge to Dylan just a little bit. But I think that De'Anthony Melton as a help defender makes your defense significantly better than D'Anthony Melton as your point of attack defender.
Yeah, I definitely give Dillon an edge there. Like I said, D'Anthony Melton's more of a help guy that's going to get in passing lanes. But as far as just one-on-one straight-up defense, I would definitely give Dillon the edge there, and they missed that. I mean, if you had to put out one weakness that they've had through the first eight games, it's definitely been perimeter defense. I mean, teams have been able to get just wide open looks from three, and even maybe get to the basket with just clean looks. I mean, when the Nuggets were cooking tonight, I mean, you just saw some passes where guys were just wide open on the rim. There's nobody around them, and they just have to get better there. And I think to be 5-3 with the way that they play defense, I think they're lucky to kind of be there. I think their offense, it's been really good, and that's kind of why they've been able to do that. But we've seen in games where they can't score, like the Portland game and the Miami game, where they really struggle to score, and you see what happens. And that's kind of the danger that they face right now. And it's not to say that Dillon's going to fix all of that, because I don't think he will, but I think he'll help, because it makes your overall team defense better. Like you said, to have that point of attack guy there, I think it makes everybody better. It makes D'Anthony Melton that much more effective on the defensive end. But that's something that I think they really need to get Dillon back. But seeing him going down to the hustle with a group of other players to practice today, I think that shows that he'll be back sooner rather than later, because if he wasn't still ready to come back, I mean, he wouldn't be down in a full contact practice doing stuff like that. And we know the Grizzlies have been overly cautious. I think if this was probably down the stretch and you're in a playoff race and we're in a playoff game, Dillon would probably be playing, but they're not going to rush him back, because, I mean, it's about the long game, and that's how we've always talked about this front office views this, and that's what we're seeing now. I think Dillon will be fine. I think he'll be back up soon, and I think they'll be better for it.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I mentioned this wasn't in the Jaren show, but in a previous episode about the guards playing defense from behind, and that's, you know, they're just struggling staying in front of people. And when you play teams that have good guards, you struggle with that. And that's something, you know, Monte Morris is a guy that, you know, assist to turnover ratio, he's usually one of the league leaders in that, but he's not real explosive whenever it comes to getting to the bucket. And so that kind of plays into the Grizzlies' favor. But, you know, you did see them struggle against guys like Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. Those guys that can get past them gave them fits. And so, like I said, Dillon's going to fix some of that, but definitely not all of it.
You got something. I was going to say, you got one coming up on Friday night, man. You got Dinwiddie, Bill, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, kind of your wing guys. And that's one where you could really use Dillon in that game. I think that's going to be kind of a tough matchup for the Grizzlies. Not saying they can't win the game, but again, that's just kind of an example where you can look up and say, man, you could really use Dillon in this game. Just like Portland, when you're dealing with Lillard and CJ McCollum, you have these guards that can get by you and that are hard to guard. He's kind of the guy that you can put out there and deploy against these guys, and they just don't have it right now.
Yep. So I have a slight concern moving forward. I know we're talking about getting Dillon back, and we're glad, obviously, to get him back because of what he brings defensively. Do you think that him coming back is going to have any impact on the way that Desmond Bane is playing offensively?
Yeah, man, that's definitely an interesting question. We've kind of talked about this really early on. We were talking about when Melton was really cooking offensively, as well as what we know he does on defense, kind of talk about who's going to go to the bench when Dillon came back. And I think that question is kind of answered now. I think Melton is going to be the guy that goes to the bench. I think Bane is just playing too well offensively to kind of take him out of that lineup. So I think you'll see Bane and Dillon in the starting lineup with Melton going to the bench. But that's the interesting question. I mean, because Bane has been fantastic. I mean, going back to the summer, what he did out in summer league, I mean, you could just tell that he was going to come in and it added some things to his game, and he was coming in here on a mission. And I think he's shown that he's a NBA starter right now. And I don't think there's any question about it. And Bill is this one-dimensional guy. We kind of tried to tell people coming when they drafted him that, man, not so fast, man. This guy's a little bit more athletic than you think. He's a little bit better defensively than you think. High IQ basketball player. And we've seen all of that so far this season. So it's going to be interesting to see how Dillon is integrated back into this. I think there might be a bit of an adjustment period because Dillon is a high-volume guy. We know that, and they're used to playing without him right now for eight games now. So when he comes back, I do think there's going to be a transition period. I hope it doesn't affect Bane, and I kind of hope Melton coming out the bench. I hope it doesn't kind of change where he is, because we've seen inconsistency with him where time stretches where he's really plays really well, and then times where he kind of disappears. Mobley, he doesn't go to the bench when Dillard is back and kind of disappears back into struggle mode like we've seen him do at times. So that is definitely a concern. I think it'll work itself out over time, but I am kind of concerned that when Dillard first come back, that there will be kind of a transition period for this team, because Dillard means so much for this team offensively and defensively. Such a big part. I mean, that's going to change some things when he comes back, and you kind of now got Jared and kind of, we saw tonight, kind of fall into his role, like, and he's trying to figure things out, and he's going to be a high-volume guy you expect him to be. And so that's even another kind of area where it could be affected with this team. So we'll see how it plays out, but hopefully it doesn't take too long, but I do think it will be a bit of an adjustment.
Yeah, you know, with Melton, he never goes completely invisible. You know, we use that term loosely, and the fact he's always impactful on the defensive end.
Yeah.
But, there were times at the end of last year where he was almost unplayable on the offensive end of the floor, because you need him. He doesn't have to be an offensive juggernaut like he is at times. There's times when he gets hot and he can carry the offensive load, but the Grizzlies, like, they don't expect him to do that. But he can't be a complete negative on the offensive end. You know, they just – Ja Morant is – and maybe this year he is at that level where it doesn't matter, you know, if Melton is invisible in the offensive end, Ja Morant may be able to carry him. And last year he wasn't quite there. So, you know, like with the growth that we've seen from Ja, you may be able to handle a little bit less offense from D'Anthony Melton, but he's always out there doing something. And, you know, like a night like tonight, it doesn't, you know, it's not a massive stat line from him. He only had 10 points. But I would take this 4 for 8 from the field, 2 for 4 from three. You know, he only had 2 rebounds, but 3 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, you know, just impacting the game.
And it was timely offense. Some of those shots that he hit, like one of those threes, it's just big time, big shots in big moments. So, again, man, I'm with you. I'll take this line anytime that he puts up these type of numbers. He doesn't need to be an offensive juggernaut on night in, night out basis, but you don't want him to be. Because I'm thinking there were times, like you said, at the end of last year where he was just bad and he was still taking a lot of shots. And that's what you don't want. He turns the ball over during that time. That's what you don't want. But stat line like tonight, man, I'll take that for the rest of the season. If you can get that every night, I think they'll be good to go.
Yeah, 100% they will, man. Another guy I want to talk about before we get out of here, Tyus Jones in this series. Man. Was fantastic. Incredible, man. Monday night, 17 points. Him and Ja were on the floor for an extended period Monday night. And historically, that's been a terrible offensive lineup. Like, that has not been a good lineup with both of those guys on the floor. Tyus,
when he's scoring like that, I like it. I like the look. But, yeah, historically, I mean, the numbers on that were awful. But for with him shooting threes like way he's been shooting, and, again, I've said this a lot, he talked about how upset he was at his shooting percentages last year. And he was telling about how much shots he was getting up a day on the offseason. You can tell, man, it's paid off, and he's shooting with confidence, even from mid-range, and he's knocking it down, man. And that's a big push for this team coming out the bench. And shout out to the bench. The benches had struggled, but in this series, they outscored, I got it written down here, on Monday night, 43-34, outscored the Nuggets on the bench. And tonight, they doubled them up 34-17. So shout out to the bench, and Tyus was a big part of that.
Yeah, he didn't score. He only scored 7 points tonight, but is that right? Am I looking at that right?
Let me see. Yeah, 7.
7.
7 assists, you know, though.
Yeah, and, you know, he made 1 3, and the mid-range shot, he had, you know, 1 tie. The shot clock was rolling down, and he was able to get free and knock down about a, you know, 18-foot jump shot, just enough to keep, you know, keep them from closing in. The 20-point lead early in the game, the Grizzlies are not 20 points better than the Nuggets. I said that during the game on Twitter.
Yeah, I knew it.
There's going to be it's a game of runs, and we can see the maturity showing up from this team, like things that they've learned and being able to close games and stick with it. It's really showing early in the season. But again, you have games where the youth is exposed as well. So that fortunately that they were able to put it together. We didn't really see a whole lot of the youth in this series, and they were able to beat a good team, a really good team, 2 times.
And one thing I did want to mention, Michael Malone, in his pregame press availability said that when they win the rebounding battle, they win. And that was not the case tonight. The Grizzlies won the battle of the boards 44-36 and 11-3 on the offensive backboard, which was huge. So I wanted to kind of throw that out there. He said when they won rebounding battle, they win games. Did not happen tonight. So
yeah, and that's, you know, credit to the Grizzlies. That was a big thing. You know, he mentioned the offensive rebounds for the Grizzlies in game one, and the Nuggets limited that tonight. The Grizzlies had, I think it was 11 rebounds, 11 offensive rebounds for 14 points in the first game. And tonight's game, they had three offensive rebounds.
Just rebound.
So I don't know. I don't see the second chance points. Here we go. Six.
So yeah.
They converted the three offensive rebounds into 6 points. So the Nuggets were able to fix that. They were able to make adjustments and fix the offensive rebounding. It's crazy to me. Steven Adams did not have – okay, he had one. He had one offensive rebound.
One offensive rebound.
But, you know, they just done a much better job. There were a number of different guys. On Monday night, I know that guards – had a lot of guards getting offensive rebounds. Desmond Bane had one. Ja Morant had three offensive rebounds. Zaire Williams, Kyle Anderson, Tyus Jones, and looks like X had three. So, you know, just a lot. Like, it was a combination, like rebound by committee on Monday night. So the Nuggets were able to make those adjustments, but the Grizzlies were still good enough to get the win. Next game. Man. Go ahead, man.
I was going to say, shout out to the bigs, man. Steven Adams, a 41% free throw shooter last year, still perfect on the season. Jaren Jackson Jr. has only missed one this year. So, I mean, that's big for your power forward and center to be that consistent. And who would have thought Steven Adams would be the perfect on the free throw line 8 games of the season, man? Yeah. When they first made the move, Amy Stagmeyer, shout out to her from the Fly Grizz blog, Memphis Flyer, was upset about, man. We like traded JV for a 41% free throw shooter, but man, he's been fantastic, man. He knocked him down. So I wanted to shout out to him and shout out to Zaire Williams, man. Again, I know a lot of people upset that he's getting so many minutes, but I like it. I mean, again, this front office is about development, and they made the decision from the jump that they were going to play him. He's going to be in a rotation. They were going to give him minutes. They let him take his lumps and start off, man. He hit three threes in the first half and first quarter. And really was really a big part of them getting out there, 20-point lead, and made some plays down the stretch. Probably had his best game as a pro tonight. 11 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, a steal, a block, 4-8 from the field, 3-7 from three, 24 minutes plus 5. So shout out to Zaire Williams, man. Again, you can see the flashes, the length. I think he had a big steal at one point tonight. High IQ, really good passer. I mean, one pass, I think it was Steven Adams that he found for a dunk down the middle of the floor. I mean, he has some shows and flashes, and I think this playing time is only going to make him better. I'm glad they didn't go the route of sending him down to the G League. And I mean, you take a guy top 10, man, you want him to be a guy that you can play. And I'm glad they're kind of sticking with it. And I think that's going to instill confidence in him. I think his teammates have confidence in him because even when he's not shooting well, I mean, Ja still finds him in the corner for that shot, man. They're going to give him the opportunity to shoot the basketball. And I'm glad to see him have a pretty solid game tonight.
And I want to mention something about it. I'm actually glad that you said that because I forgot about this. But I saw a conversation about him kind of just standing in the corner. And one thing that you got to understand is the design of the offense, right? So if you have guys moving with Ja Morant and his ability to get downhill and get to the basket, you're running this pick and roll. You're running, and they ran a lot of high pick and roll to try and get Ja Morant matched up with Jokic so Ja can use his speed and handles to manipulate that mismatch. But him just standing in the corner, he's doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
You go absolutely. Back and you watch film from last year, and Desmond Bane done
Desmond
a lot
Bane.
Of standing yep. in the corner.
Yep.
And so it's not because he doesn't have the basketball IQ.
No, it's by design.
Cuts are to do more. It's he's standing in that corner because if his defender, the corner three is an analytical dream, right? Like that's the shot that all the analytical, the numbers nerds, that's what they want you taking. The corner three has the highest reward.
Highest percentage, yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a shorter distance to the basket. You get the most points, highest percentage. That's the shots they want you taking. So Taylor Jenkins' offense is designed to get those corner threes. Zaire Williams, when he is up there and he's just standing in that corner, the hope is that Ja Morant, one of the best guys in the league at getting to the basket, can cause the defense to collapse on him and Zaire will get open looks. And that happened. You know, it's been happening. Zaire's not always knocking them down, but they're going to start falling for him. They will.
And you saw it in the first half. He had three in a row in the first quarter. And again, I mean, they're going to start falling. I mean, I just think he's too talented. I mean, I know he's getting sides up and working on it. They're going to start falling. And when they do, man, that's going to be a problem. And his game will expand. He starts knocking that down. I mean, there's going to be times where he expands his game to get in the paint and do more things. But like you said, but him standing in that corner, like we said, we saw Bane do it last year. That's by design. That's kind of how they have it schemed. Because, I mean, he's drawing a guy away from theoretically drawing a guy away from the paint. And that helps out Ja Morant getting into the basket and creating and penetrating. So I'm just glad, again, that they're allowing him to take his lumps and not just him being on the bench and not playing and sending him down to the G League and bring him back up. I mean, he's a big part of this team's future. And if he's going to maximize his talent, you want him to do that quickly to be a part of this sport. And again, they're giving him every opportunity to do so. And I'm really glad to see that. And I think his confidence is getting better because, yeah, man, he's not shy. He's putting the shots up even when he's not making them. But it was good to see him knock down his first three tonight. And I think eventually that shot's going to start falling.
Brevin said on the broadcast, and I'm glad that he said this because I saw it on Monday night. Ja made two or three really good passes to Zaire that was open in the corner. Zaire missed the shot, and I saw Ja say something to him. But like the angle of where I was sitting, I couldn't read Ja's lips to tell exactly what he was saying. And Zaire had mentioned thinking, and Ja's like, "Don't think, just shoot. Just shoot." Like he's hitting him with the passes, and he's missing the shots. And I see fans getting mad and thinking that Ja is getting mad because he's missing the shots. And Ja was not. He wasn't getting mad. Sure, he wants him to make them. But he's like, hey, stop thinking about it. Just let it rip. Just shoot the ball. And so, you know, that's the leader of your team, knowing that this guy is important to this franchise. Hey, listen, man, it's okay that you're missing them. Just keep shooting them. Don't think about it. Just let it happen. And, you know, he started off great tonight, 3 for 3. He didn't make another three after that, so that's unfortunate. But still, like, I'm happy for him that he had some shots fall just to boost his confidence.
Yeah, I mean, Josh said it in the post-game press conference on Monday night. He said that Zaire came up and apologized to him, saying, man, I'm sorry. And he's like, man, no, man, just keep shooting it. I'm going to pass it to you. Just keep shooting it. And I like that mentality. And, again, because – and they talked about it on the broadcast tonight that his teammates have said they're confident in him and they want him taking those shots. The coaching staff wants him to take those shots. If you're open, shoot it. And again, man, you saw three fall tonight. And again, I think you're going to see that fall with more consistency and him getting those reps is going to help that. So it's only going to make him better. And again, man, I'm just glad to see him out there and they trust him and they even have him out there in crunch time sometimes. So they trust him to be out there. They're going to let him take his lumps and they're not going to pull him every time he makes a mistake. And This coaching staff, we've talked about so much how great they are with development, and I think they're really, really showing that with Zaire giving them this playing time.
Yep. LTMF. That's what I think we heard it first from Melton.
Let that MF
let
fly.
That mother fly. Yep. So they're doing it. And here we are. We're on a two-game win streak now. We're starting off. Let's see if they can keep it going Friday. Again, the Grizzlies have – well, I think it was 8 of 10 at home here in the stretch. They played a couple of them here. They'll travel to Washington on Friday. I don't know what day, if they're going to leave. Probably won't leave tonight. Probably leave in the morning.
Yeah, they leave tomorrow. I think they usually leave after the day before. They'll leave like tomorrow afternoon. I don't know if they have a shoot around tomorrow or walk through or whatever they're going to do tomorrow, shoot around, I mean. But they'll probably leave tomorrow afternoon. That's usually how that kind of works when you're on an off day. But, yeah, man, tough game. Against the Wizards, they fell at home tonight to Toronto. So both teams coming into that game 5-3. Grizzlies have 2 days off, and then you got 4-game week next week. You got Timberwolves at home, Hornets at home, Suns at home before going down to New Orleans. Maybe we hope that luck changes. I mean, the Grizzlies just haven't had any luck against the Pelicans. Man, they just had their number, but the Pelicans really, really struggling. Don't have Zaire Williamson right now. Don't know when they'll have Zaire Williamson. That's a unfortunate situation, man. I'm glad those ping pong balls fell. And the Grizz got the number two pick. I know we were kind of, a lot of people kind of wishing they got the number one pick on the night. But again, man, in hindsight, I think things worked out pretty good for the boys in blue. But the Pelicans 1-7 right now, so hopefully they can end that trend. But some winnable games. I mean, a tough one coming up on Friday, but three games at home, three out of the next five at home. So hopefully, man, they can come out here with three or four wins, man. We'll see what happens.
Yep, busy week next week for us, man. You ready for all those shows?
Man, I'm ready, man. It was a weird schedule this week, man. I had only three games. Looking up on Tuesday, they only had two games. I was looking up yesterday, and I was like, man, they play tonight on Wednesday and one more game coming up on Friday, and that's it for the week, though. So they got some rest this week, man. So hopefully they're ready because, again, they're going to be busy next week and actually the week after that as well. So I'm ready for it, man. I'm ready to go, man. It's coming high and heavy, man. And again, man, hopefully we can keep coming on here talking about big Grizzly wins.
For sure. So we will get out of here. Before we go, we're going to let you know about our partners here at HoopBall. MyBookie.ag, best online sportsbook out there. More lines and better odds for the players than any other sportsbook. You go over there, sign up, use our promo code HoopBall. They will match your initial deposit 50% up to $1,000. Parlay, man, my favorite thing about MyBookie, and I think I talk about this every stinking time, is the odds boost that they run. They do it at the start of every season, whether it's basketball, hockey, football. At the start of every season, they will have an odds boost where you can go in and you can bet, and it's like it's a lock to win. It'll be something stupid, like you'll get a football team, and if you bet on this team, you're getting you know 60 points in the spread, and you know in some cases that could cut you know turn out as a loss, but more often than not, if you're getting 60 points in a football game, you're coming out as a win. So MyBookie, they run stuff like that for college, pros, everything. We're just Isaac, when does the college basketball season start? We're just around the corner from that, aren't we?
Yeah, man. Starts next week. Tigers, Memphis Tigers first game Tuesday night against Tennessee Tech. So man, it's coming fast, man. This is my favorite time of year when kind of all the professional sports basically culminate, man. Baseball it's just ending right now. But yeah. I mean, this is a sports fan dream, man. This time a year or so, man. If you're sports better, I mean you're loving this, man. You got all kind of opportunities out there. So man, definitely go out and check out my book.
And after it was taken away from us with COVID, to have it all back now, man, is just that much sweeter.
Awesome.
So again, the promo code is HoopBall over at MyBookie. Use it. They'll match your initial deposit. Go over there, get in on those odds boosts, win you some money, and follow the guys over at HoopBall Gaming, and they will guide you to some more wins if you want it. So you can get the show on Twitter at HoopBall Grizz. I'm at DWill2111. Isaac, I'm running this out of here. Did you have anything else, man?
No, man. Just Grizz Nation, enjoy this one. Big time win tonight, man, to get both of these. You can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals, ISAAC_Rivals. We'll be back with you post-game on Friday. As Grizzlies travel to take on the Nuggets. And until then, we're going.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.